In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The gospel of today is the passage that the church selects for us on the fifth Sunday of the Coptic month. So each Coptic month has 30 days exactly, and sometimes when there's five Sundays, we call this fifth Sunday the Sunday of Blessing. And you find in every fifth Sunday of the Coptic month, the church reads for us the feeding of the five loaves and two fish, as we see, you know, God's blessing. When we look at this miracle, how the Lord blessed the five loaves and two fish, it was very clear and evident how the Lord Christ was working not only in the lives of the disciples, but also in the lives of the people as well. If we remember, last week we began to speak about a topic of the Holy Spirit. And we said that there are many competing ideas of how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of believers. Some people just proclaim that the Holy Spirit told me to do this and the Holy Spirit told me to do that. So it's not as clear as what Christ was doing when he was ministering here on earth. So we began to establish how can we tell the difference between whether this is the voice of the Holy Spirit in my ear or whether this is the voice of Satan in my ear. And we spoke last week about the characteristics of God's kingdom versus Satan's kingdom. And we made just some comparisons with one another, many of which you guys are very familiar with and you know. But I just wanted to bring it out so this is clear in our mind. Today, I'd like to speak about distinguishing the voice of the Holy Spirit versus the voice of Satan. What are some of the things that help us recognize if this is a voice from God or not? Because sometimes we get these voices talking to us, and it sounds good, but we're unsure. So I'd like to mention a couple of points about this today. The first thing we know about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us is that it speaks in a whisper. It speaks in a whisper. What do I mean by speaking in a whisper? It doesn't threaten us to yield to what it says. It doesn't threaten us. In Scripture, in the book of Deuteronomy, God says to the people, I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So he says, I've set before you both the life and the death. But I want you to what? To choose life. To me, this sounds like a whisper. Something that is suggestive. The Holy Spirit speaks in this soft voice to us. And it doesn't shout. Satan actually is the one who shouts. Anybody that raises his voice and shouts, one of the reasons he or she does this is to invoke fear in the hearer, to make them scared. And when somebody's scared, they might give in to whatever I'm saying. You know, this is very common. If I'm arguing with somebody, I raise my voice to scare them and make them feel and intimidate them, and then they will hopefully submit to me, is maybe what I think. This is the same tactic that Satan uses. He raises his voice when he tells us things and wants us to submit to him. He invokes in us fear of several things. The first, the fear of God. And I'm not referring here to the fear of God that's the virtue, where I revere God, but being scared of God. Being scared of God. He says, might come to us and say, you know, you're too wicked to be among all of these saints in this church. All of these saints that are around us, and you have all of these sins, God will not certainly accept you. And you're the black sheep among everybody. Why? He wants us to be scared of being in God's presence. For what purpose? To keep us outside. Because he knows as long as we're in here, he doesn't have the power over us. So he wants to scare us from God, that he's not merciful, he's not forgiving, he will never forgive you, your sins are too much. He also wants to scare us from repenting. scare us from repenting. He'll say to you, he'll whisper in your ear and say, the sins that you committed are very embarrassing. Nobody else in the church is doing the sins that you are doing. You're going to go and tell Abuna these things, he's going to think of you like very bad things. So he wants to scare us from repentance. So he also wants to scare us from himself. He wants to scare us from himself. Believe it or not, some people, when they go into the fight with Satan and with the temptations, they feel it so hard, and basically Satan outlasts them to the point where some people will say, I will just accept the sin so he leaves me alone. I will accept the sin so he leaves me alone. And some people do the sin thinking that he will leave him alone. Oh, no, no, he will leave you alone just for a second because you already fell. But he'll be right at it again. Satan doesn't want us to just commit one sin. He wants us to live in sin. He wants us to be the source of sin for other people. So don't get fooled when he tells you, just fall this one time and I'll leave you alone. No. The only person we find refuge in and help in is the Lord Jesus. Don't go to evil to find rest from evil. It doesn't make any logical sense. So he whispers, he doesn't shout. The Holy Spirit whispers, doesn't shout. Number two, he seeks our cooperation. The Holy Spirit wants to work with us. He doesn't want to overtake us, or he doesn't want to take over our life. It says, St. Paul says to the Philippians, he says, therefore, though I might be, he says to Philemon, I'm sorry, therefore I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you. So St. Paul is writing to his disciple asking for something, and he says, I could very well command you because I am your father, but I'd rather appeal to you. This is how the Holy Spirit works. It would rather appeal to us than command us and compel us. What's the difference between appealing and commanding somebody? What's the difference between? It's the will. The will. With an appeal, I willfully choose. But with a command, there's no choice. I'm doing it because I must. Whether because my job tells me to and I have to get paid and feed my family, whether it is, you know, my parents tell me something and if I don't, I'll get punished. This is a command where I willfully, I don't have a choice. But the Holy Spirit acts in us and he wants us to choose life, to choose to do the right thing. So he'll never force his opinion and force his will upon us. And this is the sign of love, is when we, the sign of appeal. And maybe we can use this in our everyday life with other people. If maybe we have a suggestion, rather than phrasing the suggestion as a command, we can phrase it as an appeal. Would you, could you, using words, using questions instead of, you know, exclamation points when we speak to others. But what does Satan want to do? Does Satan just want to cooperate with us in our life? Does he want, you know, want us to work with him? Or does he want to, you know, take over? I'll read a passage from Mark chapter 9. And I want you to count with us the, you know, Satan's strategy here. Satan wants not to cooperate with us, but he wants to take full control. So this is the story when the father brought his demon-possessed son to the Lord Christ. Let's see what happens. How does Satan, what did Satan do to this poor child? So the father brings him to the Lord and he says, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Okay, one. He had a mute spirit. Satan made him not speak. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. So whenever it seizes him, I'm going to need two hands. If I could have a third, I would use it. So it made him mute. It seized him and threw him down on the ground. Then he says, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, grinds them, and it becomes rigid. It becomes very, his muscles contract and it becomes very rigid. So this is what, I think 5 or 6. So I spoke to your disciples and they couldn't cast it out, but they could not. Then they brought him to him, being Christ. When he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. 7. And he fell on the ground and wallowed. 8. Foaming at the mouth, we said already. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water. 9. So what does it sound like Satan wants to do here? Does it sound like he wants to cooperate? I don't think this person wanted to be thrown in the water or the fire, or on the ground for that matter, right? But here it's clear that Satan doesn't want to just tempt us and leave us alone, but he wants to take full control. He wants to take full control. So when he whispers in our ear and tells us to commit a sin, this is not just the end of it. No, no, no. This is just the beginning of the slippery slope. So Holy Spirit seeks our cooperation, whereas Satan demands our submission. Big difference. Number 3 is that the Holy Spirit convicts mankind of sin. It says about in the Gospels of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, he says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So he will convict the world of sin. What does this conviction mean? Does it mean he's going to, you know, judge us for us to perish? No. He convicts us to get us to realize and recognize the sin that is in my life. For what purpose? That I might perish? No. But that I might live, that I might become pure and holy and like the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Holy Spirit convicts and rebukes us, it's for the purpose of purification and restoration and to edify our spirits. The Holy Spirit's job is to show us the way of salvation. And whether we like it or not, the way of salvation requires that it rebuke us, or he rebuke us of sin. So the Holy Spirit rebukes us of sin. What about Satan? In the book of Revelation, it says, the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. So the book of Revelation calls Satan the accuser. So let me just paint for you the scenario of what Satan does. He comes and says, come, here's sin, a nice something you can look at online, or something, you know, you can enjoy some pleasure. Come, take a little peace, and you will have rest, and you will have joy, and you will be happy. And then as soon as we take it, and we fall into the sin, what does he do? He accuses us day and night. He's the accuser. Accuses us before who? Before God, right? So immediately after he tempts us to take this thing of his, he goes to God the Father and says, look, the child that you presumably saved, look what he's doing. He's deserving of death. You should judge him. Does this sound like somebody we should listen to? This sounds like a backstabber to me. I think all of us dislike backstabbers. This is what Satan does to us. He stabs us in the back. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin for the purpose of edification and for our purification, whereas Satan accuses us of sin that God might judge us. Number 5, the Holy Spirit is clear in his rebuke and he's not vague. He's very clear in his rebuke. He's very specific. What do I mean? When the Holy Spirit whispers in our ear a word of rebuke, he says, you know, you shouldn't have taken this thing that wasn't yours. You shouldn't have said this difficult word to this person. You shouldn't have looked at this image online. So the Holy Spirit, when it rebukes, it's very specific. Now when Satan rebukes, he likes to generalize things and he creates this big fog in our mind and our perception of ourselves and of our sins. He says, you know what, you're a sinner. You sin all of these sins, and you're just a bad person and all these things. So he wants us to be, you know, feel like we're sinners, but not being able to pinpoint it. It's just like driving in the fog. You know, when you drive in the thick fog, you know, you can only basically see the line that is next to you. That's the only way you're staying, you know, on the road. If something were to cross in front of you, you would be blinded. This is what Satan wants to do. He wants to blind us from our sin, so he creates this big fog and generalizes things and says, yeah, you're a sinner and there's no way for you to return, and makes things very vague. But when the Holy Spirit rebukes, it's specific. So when you have that voice that tells you you're worthless, you're a sinner, there's no chance for you, this is the voice of Satan. This isn't the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is specific. Why is the Holy Spirit specific? Because when the Spirit is specific, it gives us something measurable and a way we can repent. You know, if something's very vague and you're not sure what it is, you can't pinpoint it, Ruh, I'm going to confess what? I don't know what it is. But when we know exactly what it is, I looked at this bad thing. I treated this person poorly. I said this bad word. These are things that are measurable and things that I can identify. So when I repent of these things, I can see the change because I've identified them. But if I don't identify them, then it becomes very difficult to confess. And that's why confessing vague sins is not liberating at all. So if I go to my father of confession, I say a couple of sins, and then I say, there are many other sins that I committed, I don't know what they are, you know, and I hope that God forgives me. This is like a blanket statement, but this never really builds me. We have to know exactly, you know, our sins and to confess them specifically, not just a blanket statement. The blanket statement will never help you. If you're saying this blanket statement, try to every night before you sleep to list your sins with specifically, not just this using this vagueness. Number 5, the Holy Spirit corresponds with Scripture and God's character. It says again in the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit's work in us is to bring to our remembrance the things that Christ has said to us. So this is saying that the Holy Spirit must correspond with the Word of God, with Scripture. And not only with Scripture, but also with God's character. So if I'm ever in question whether this voice is from God or from the enemy, refer back to Scripture. Is what this voice is telling me, is it okay by Scripture? Or is there something that is, you know, a little bit unclear or it sounds questionable? And then if you can't find specifically from Scripture, then look at the character of God. The Holy Spirit works the same way and continues the same characteristics of God we saw in the Father and the ones we saw in the Son. For example, when the Son, the Lord Christ, met the woman who was caught in adultery, right? Red-handed, she's guilty, she's caught in adultery. He says to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So the whisper that comes to our ear that is filled with hope and filled with life, this is the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. It lines up and corresponds with Scripture and also with the character of God as we know Him as revealed in Scripture and in the church. But of course, Satan takes a different approach. Satan will try to deceive us as if he was, you know, Christ, or as if he was being good. He comes to us as a wolf in lambs and sheep's clothing, right? He'll come to us in just this outward manner, they're looking, okay, I'm doing somebody a favor, or I'm helping somebody, but this person needs help on his exam, you know? I have to help him during the test. But then that falls into, okay, now I'm cheating, right? So it's a sheep on the outside, but in the inside, it's a wolf. Number 6, the Holy Spirit shows the believers their true value. The Holy Spirit shows us our true value. The Lord Christ says in Luke chapter 12, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And at the time, 1 coin would buy 2 sparrows, right? So if he's saying now that 5 sparrows are sold for 2 copper coins, what does that mean? It means that one of them was given what? for free, right? Or يعني, like they say in Egypt, حاجة فوق البيع, مش كده? You go and buy some like meat for like 2 kilograms, and then he gives you 2.2 kilograms. The 0.2 is just something extra. Why? To bring you back. You know, he wants a repeat customer, right? So this extra, this thing that is free, in the eyes of God, is still valuable. He says, are five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God, even the one that to us is worthless. To us is worthless, the one that is free. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So now he's making this example personal between us, saying that all of your hairs are numbered. So all of us, like them, all of you like myself who are losing their hair, each one of them fell by God's, you know, permission. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So the Holy Spirit, when it speaks to me, it will remind me of my value before God. And what's that value? More than 5 sparrows. Even if I look at myself as being worthless and nothing, God looks and says, no, you are very valuable to me, to the point where each of your hair, when it falls down, I am concerned about it and I gave it permission. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And then St. Paul continues the same thought in Corinthians. He says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. He says, not only are we valuable because God cares for us, but we're valuable because he placed his Spirit within us. And the Spirit makes us the temple of God. What is the temple of God? It's the dwelling place of God. So we are extremely valuable, more valuable than any precious pearl or stone or anything that money can buy in this world. On the other hand, Satan wants to make us feel that we are worthless. He wants to convince us that there's no purpose for your life. And ala fikra, just for the parents, yani out there, this is what some of the peers are telling your children. It's unfortunate. I hear it, yani, in confession, unfortunately, but some of their friends or some of their peers, not necessarily their friends, will tell them that you're worthless, go kill yourself. This is very scary. For we need to make sure that our children know how valuable they are, not only to me, but also to God. And we need to show them how valuable they are. And sometimes we make a mistake as parents, is we sometimes tie the child's value or worth to something. For example, if a child doesn't do well in school, we might say, "Inta fashil, you're worthless. Why don't you do like your cousin? Why don't you do like this person?" To this, it makes them feel that unless I make good grades, I am not valuable to mom and dad. And this is something from Muntaha al-Khatura. It's something that's very, we should be very cautious of this. Our children are valuable despite the grades that they make. Yes, we want them to make good grades and to succeed, and we love them, but their value is irregardless of what grades they make. Or maybe of a mistake. Maybe our child makes a mistake. Oh, now you're the embarrassment of the family. What are they going to say about us? So here they feel that because of this, I'm no longer valuable to mom and dad. And the minute they feel that they're not valuable to you, they will go out into the world to find anybody that feels that they are valuable. If it's a girl, any guy that gives her the time of day and appreciates her, she's going to fall in love with him. And she might just run off with him. We don't know. Make our children feel valuable so that they understand how valuable they are in Christ's eyes. Last thing, the Holy Spirit shows believers that there is absolution for sin. It says in the book of Isaiah, though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What color is scarlet? Scarlet is like a red, a fresh red color, like the Badrashin and the Tonya. This is scarlet. So God is telling them, though your sins are like this red color, and typically the red color is like fresh blood, right? Fresh blood is a light color, and the old blood is a dark color. So the fresh blood is the sins that I commit daily. So God gives us the remedy for these fresh new sins daily through what? Through the sacrament of repentance and confession. So he says, though your sins are fresh and new, I will make them as white as snow. What about crimson? What's the color of crimson for those Alabama fans? It's a dark red. Crimson is like a maroon color, right? So he says, even if your sins are dark red, meaning they're old and they're buried, this might be the sin, like the corruption of humanity, which we get renewed in baptism. It also could be my sins that I have buried in me since my childhood. He says, even though your sins are like crimson, they can be made like wool, as white as wool. So the Holy Spirit will tell us and give us this hope that there is forgiveness, there is absolution for sin, whereas Satan will whisper the contrary in our ears. So just to recap, Kida, we said, how can I recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? The voice of the Holy Spirit whispers in our ear. It doesn't shout and demand submission. The voice of the Holy Spirit seeks our cooperation. It doesn't seek to take over my life. The voice of the Holy Spirit convicts man of sin for the purpose of purifying and restoring us and edifying our spirits, and not to condemn us. The Holy Spirit is clear in its rebuke and not vague. The Holy Spirit always corresponds with Scripture and God's character, and the Holy Spirit always shows the believers their true value in the eyes of God. And lastly, the Holy Spirit shows the believer that there is absolution for sin. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.